Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his children. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you, truly I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teacher, and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So, do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the day. Speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, Be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So, don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, I truly tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward.
Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim the message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out the demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey, or extra shirt or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their home until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town.
Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Praying for harvest workers solves the labor shortage for the crowd, for the church, and for the Lord of the harvest. The prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered. Jesus called 12 of his followers and sent them into the ripe fields. He gave them power to kick out the evil spirits and to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt. This is the list of the 12 he sent. Simon, they called him, Peter or Rock, Andrew, his brother, James, Zebedee's son, John, his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the tax man, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot, who later turned on him. And that's our first four verses from the Message. Jesus answers the prayer for harvest hands, showing he is God. Only God answers prayer. Probably to their surprise, the disciples discovered that they are God's answer to their own prayers. Perhaps you've had a similar experience where you were praying for something to happen or praying for someone to be taken care of, and you clearly sense the Lord leading you to go and do something that would at least be a partial answer to that prayer. Before we were missionaries, Renee and I served two churches which had a strong missionary focus. One of them, much like Emmanuel, was started as a mission church, only it was started in a train car in 1909. The second church was a church plant in 1792. Like Emmanuel, both of these churches to this day retain a commitment to local and global missions as a vital part of their DNA. Renee and I spent the first 9 years of our marriage praying for missions, giving to missions, being involved in missions through the ministries of these churches. Yet there could not have been two more surprised persons when God clearly called us to be the answer to our prayers through career service in international missions. For Renee and me, international missions was not even a thought on our career path. Yet when God called us, it was clear. It was energizing and felt like the natural flow of events. After we became missionaries, we could not think of doing anything else with our lives. Renee and I were certain we would be like that guy that took his last flight, that sometime after 30 or 40 years, we would retire as missionaries from West Africa. Yet there could not have been two more surprised persons when God clearly called us back to the United States. And fast forwarding another 12 years, there could not have been a more surprised person when it seemed good to this church to call me as your pastor. Once again, a call that was clearly not on my career path, but one for which I am deeply grateful to God and to you for giving me the opportunity. I've said this before, I'll say it again. I think being your pastor is the most important work of my life. Perhaps we shouldn't be surprised when God calls us to be the answer to our own prayers. We might even start praying something like this. Lord, I'd really like to see you do blank. And you fill in the blank. Whatever it is. Do this for my family, for me, for our church family, for our community, for our region, for our nation, for our world. You get to fill in the blank. And then say, and Lord, I'm available. In fact, I would count it a blessing if you would use me to answer, or at least be a part of the answer to this request. God does extraordinary things through ordinary people like me and like you and like the 12 ordinary and extremely diverse men he called as laborers into his harvest. Among them were 4 apparently successful fishermen, Peter, who is always listed first among the apostles, and Andrew, his brother, who seems to be always bringing people to Jesus, along with James and John. These were not merely subsistence fishermen. They weren't just fishing to feed their family. They were running a business. We know this because Zebedee, the father of James and John, had other employees. That's clear in the Bible. Then there was Thomas, known for his doubt, but also for his courage. When Jesus was going to Jerusalem, and Thomas says, well, he's going to Jerusalem. Let's go and die with him. And die. And then the great confession, when he put his hands into to his side and into his hands, and he said, my Lord and my God. Thaddeus, elsewhere named Jude, we really don't know much about. Philip took the gospel to Samaria and then was used to convert the Ethiopian eunuch. Then Bartholomew, who's elsewhere called Nathanael, who is known for his frankness, maybe his pessimism even. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He said about Jesus. But then later he would say, the same Nathanael, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. We do know that Matthew was a tax collector, which meant he was complicit in the Roman occupation of Israel. Today we might think of him as an open-minded liberal moving along in the flow of contemporary culture. He's a progressive. Tradition must change. Then that probably put him at odds with Simon the Zealot. The title the Zealot indicates Simon's political affiliation with those who, often with violence, opposed Roman rule. Today we would call him a right-wing nationalist extremist. Then always the last person among the disciples in every list is Judas Iscariot, the dishonest treasurer of the group, and the one among whom the apostles would prove himself unworthy of Jesus. It is a testimony to the transforming power of Jesus that he could bring this diverse group of ordinary men together and unite them into a force that would change the world forever. And there are implications for us in this demonstration of Jesus' transforming power among the apostles. One commentator put it this way: if Jesus used disciples such as these, he can use you. He can draw you into that remarkably diverse band of people called the church. But remember, these disciples trusted Jesus and obeyed him. you must do that too. We see the obedience and trust of the 12 in what follows. Jesus gave the 12 authority to drive out impure spirits and heal every disease and sickness. In other words, Jesus gave to these apostles the authority and the power to do in the world exactly what Jesus was doing in the world, and that is exactly what they did. The 12 went out in obedience to the authority that Jesus gave them, trusting that the power to do the things that Jesus commanded them to do would be with them and within them when they needed it. This is how Jesus operated as well. Certainly in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night he was betrayed, where he cried out to the Father for another way, if it was only possible, another way, and agonized in that request, sweating drops of blood. In that moment, Jesus trusted his Father that he would have all that was necessary to endure the cross, fall into the grip of death, and rise again from the dead. Likewise, all disciples of Jesus through the ages, beginning with those 12, have known that it is only in obedience to his authority and trusting that his power will be with us that we accomplish the will and purposes of God in this world. This is how we, Emmanuel, as a church family, will move forward into the next era of God's call on us. We will walk in his authority and trust that his power will be with us, and that his authority and his power will be more than enough for anything he asks us to do. So Jesus sent out the 12 with authority, power, and instruction. Jesus told them where to go. He said, go to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus' primary mission was to reinforce to Israel that all God's covenant promises for Israel are fulfilled in him. And this was their primary mission. But it was a preparatory mission for their global mission, which we read about in verses 16 through 33, and we'll take that up next week. So Jesus tells them where to go, and he tells them what to say. The kingdom is near. The kingdom of God has come near to you. And he told them what to do. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. And he told them how to do it with complete generosity. You've received this power, this authority from me as a free gift. Now use it as a free gift. And do it with complete dependence on God. Don't take any money with you. Don't even take an extra shirt with you. Trust that the resources that you need will be in the harvest, and I will provide them there. And finally, find a worthy person and stay with that person. We often call this a person of peace. Find a person of peace. Well, what's a person of peace? A person of peace is simply someone who receives the messenger and facilitates the message, even if they don't believe it yet. This happened to me when we were missionaries. We had a house right next to a guy, his name was Papa Coutons. Papa Couton, he had all the bases covered. He was voodoo. He was Muslim. And his wife was Catholic, so that was good for him, too. Well, Papa Couton was not a believer in Jesus, but he was very good to us. In fact, we were sent into that town to start a church, and the very first place that we had to meet was in his courtyard. He said, "Here's, I have this room. You guys can use it. You can meet here." Papa Couton was a man of peace. Even though he didn't yet believe the gospel, he welcomed the messenger and he facilitated the message. He's a person of peace. He was a worthy person. And then, interesting enough, Jesus tells him, don't waste time with the uninterested. When you go and there's just zero response, nothing, shake the dust off your feet. And that's an interesting cultural thing there. It's like, that's what Jews did. When they left a Gentile area, they would shake the dust off their feet to say, you know, I'm done with these unclean folks. So does it get the point here? They're sent to Israel, right? You're going to shake the dust off your feet. It's saying, you guys know better than the unbelieving Gentiles that you despise. That's the message. So the outcome is that those who receive the message receive salvation. And those who don't will receive judgment. The great revelation of Jesus to Israel as their Messiah meant that they had a far greater accountability before God now. Their salvation and judgment depended no longer on their faithfulness to the Mosaic law, but on their faith in Jesus, who fulfilled the law and the prophets. Jesus not only preached the good news of the kingdom, he was the good news. In his character, how he engaged with people, and what he taught, and what he did. Jesus physically was good news everywhere he went. When Jesus sent out the 12, he sent them out not only to proclaim the good news, but to be the good news. And this is the point of our passage today. Jesus calls, empowers, instructs, and sends us to be good news. This is what John, one of the 12, wrote. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. So what does it mean to be sent out? It means simply go into the world and be like Jesus. May it be so with us. Let us pray. So, Father, we just ask you that you will allow us to do that, that we will go into this world in the name of Jesus and be like Jesus, walking in the authority and the power of Jesus, knowing that we will have what we need when we need it, because you care for us so much. In Christ's name.